So I've been pondering this question of how do I work with people who tend to see their problem as changing other people? And what comes to mind most robustly for me is not so well. These are not the easiest folks to work with in therapy. It brings to mind for me the distinction that was discussed a lot in my early days of training between neuroses and character disorders. And the idea was in a neurosis, a person is conflicted in some way and as a result is making themselves miserable. In character disorders, the person is conflicted in some way and is making other people miserable. And it's harder to work with character disorders than it is with neuroses. So this is difficult.
As Ron said, working with blame can be difficult, especially as we heard in Module 1, if the person is predisposed to blame because of their neurobiology. That's why an important first step can be to help shift a client's perspective of the problem. That way, when they're externalizing the issue, we can avoid anything that may appear to be challenging their blame. Now, one way to foster this shift is through empathic resonance, to align with the pain that's lying underneath the client's blame. If you remember from the last module, this is one of the five aspects of empathy. But this isn't always easy. I mean, how do we generate this empathic resonance when the client is angrily listing off all the bad things that other people have done?
I'm listening for what hurts. What hurts for this person? And is there some gentle way that I can begin to talk about what hurts? And it's usually in the form of how my client or patient has been injured by the so-called bad behavior on the part of the other. And carefully not weighing in on the guilt and innocence of the other person or my client's guilt and innocence, but rather understanding how it feels to be hurt and then gently moving to the next phase of why they might be particularly hurt by this other person's behavior. So it can be something like, given the way that you were, unfairly accused as a child so often, I could understand why this other person being unfair to you now would be particularly painful and would be particularly difficult. Again, not voting on the guilt or innocence, but trying to attune the person to that.
You'll hear this one perspective come up often in this program, so it's worth repeating. A critical part of the work with blame is to stay away from the client's guilt or innocence in the situation, at least in the beginning. See, if we focus on the evidence of who's really at fault, it can create defensiveness in the client, and this can put the therapeutic relationship at risk, which can prolong healing.
And I found that remarkably, if I stay away from the guilt and innocence, I stay away from the who's to blame, but stay with the pain, sooner or later people feel gratified, like, oh, my pain is actually can be touched here in a loving way, and that's going to be okay. But of course, it has to be titrated because, we don't want to flood a person with more pain than they're able to tolerate at the moment.
Metering out the pain is an important part to consider. We want to be able to help the client sit with their pain to open up to it. That way, we can help them to let go of some of the unhealthy emotions they might be using to cover up those painful feelings. And when it comes to emotions, there's usually a common one that's linked to blame.
So basically, when we blame others, we are angry. And the reason we're angry is because we've been hurt. We've been hurt. And anger is a natural effort not to be hurt again. So this is not a crime. However, it is not possible to get over useless or counterproductive anger. It's not helpful unless we can feel the pain or open to the pain. When people try to forgive others or themselves for things and they can't do it, it's because they haven't opened to the pain.
That's Dr. Chris Germer. He's looking at the fragile connection between anger and pain that can keep clients in a blaming gridlock. But here's the thing. Sometimes clients simply can't open up to the pain because they don't have the strength to do it. Or maybe they're afraid to do it because they haven't been resourced to handle that kind of hurt. And this is often how clients can settle into a pain, blame, more pain cycle. So how can we use empathic resonance to help disrupt that cycle?
The first step is to name the anger, and the second step is to validate the anger by validating the pain. In other words, this hurts, or you were hurt. So once that's validated, then actually people can begin to work with it. And the reason I say this is because as long as we feel threatened, we cannot work with emotions, because any emotions that we feel are in the interest of avoiding emotion. But if our anger is validated and we can admit that we are hurt, then we can actually begin to, as it were, peel back the onion and get to the very heart of the matter. In other words, how I was hurt, and then bring kindness to that place.
Okay, so to begin, we have to name the anger and then validate it. Once the client feels validated, we can then help them to open up to the pain. And from there, we can get into the deeper work. Now, often when we're working with anger that's tied to blame, we'll find softer feelings underneath. Much of the time, we'll find that the anger is really hiding feelings of shame or grief or even loneliness.
It's a defense against our own vulnerability. It's a defense against our feeling of shame for whatever our role might be in the difficulty. And it's a defense against recognizing that we're all saints and sinners. You know, one of the ways to ward off feeling like a sinner is to think of oneself as a saint. But usually it doesn't hold so well. We're all a mixture of both. And there's usually some tremendous threat to our self-esteem that's involved in giving up righteous indignation, because it would mean, well, I'm just a regular human being here also.
So this is where our empathy for the client's pain can be so useful in creating some space between the pain and the angry blaming that's covering it up. And oftentimes, once we start exploring the feelings that are hiding behind the pain, we can get to the unmet need.
So the unmet need inevitably behind anger or bitterness or resentment is the need to be seen, to be heard, to belong, to be connected, to be special. That's not a crime. Every human being wants to be special. And ultimately, to be loved.
It's a really nice framing to use the word need, because when we say it's a need, for example, the need that everybody just wants to be loved, everybody wants to be acknowledged, everybody wants to be treated with respect or fairness, everyone wants to be included and accepted in that way. And by calling it a need, it really says, okay, this is built in. This is simply built into our wiring as an organism. We don't condemn ourselves for wanting water because we assume, well, water is a basic need, so it's okay if we have this longing. And that first level, so how we frame it, has such an important impact on whether we can develop some acceptance and kindness toward ourselves when we're experiencing the longing.
And when we can say, you know, I'm so angry because as a person, I just want to be loved, or I just want to be respected. If we can disentangle from the storyline enough to be able to say that, after having validated the pain, everything begins to change, because then we open ourselves actually to kindness. And what we discover is we can actually give ourselves, and this is the amazing thing, we can begin to give ourselves in words and in deeds the same kindness that we've been desperately reaching out to get from others, from spouses, from parents, from friends, whatever it may be. We can do this for ourselves.
That can be a very effective sequence for neutralizing a client's need to blame others. If we can get beneath the client's blame and empathically resonate with their pain, they can begin to fulfill their own unmet needs. Okay, let's take a quarter turn now and look at another one of the aspects of empathy. Remember, there were five. We'll look at the one that can help resolve, another one that can help resolve a client's blame. In the next video, we're going to focus on empathic imagination or empathic understanding. Specifically, we'll get into how a breakdown in the ability to mentalize could be setting a client up for blame. I'll see you there.